Samuel chapter 21. 2 Samuel chapter 21, please. Verse 20. And there was yet a battle in Gath, where was a man of great stature, that had on every hand 6 fingers, and on every foot 6 toes, 24 in number. And he also was born to the giant. And when he defied Israel, Jonathan the son of Shimeah, the brother of David, slew him. These 4 were born to the giant in Gath, and fell by the hand of David, and by the hand of his servants. Verse 1:22. And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, The Lord is my rock, and my fortress, my deliverer, the God of my rock. In him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation and my high tower, my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. When the waves of death compassed me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple. My cry did enter into his ears. Verse 18. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them that hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and as for his statutes, I did not depart from them. I was also upright before him, and have kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore the Lord hath recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in his eyesight. Notice down at verse 30, please. For by thee I have run through a troop, but by my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? And who is a rock save our God? God is my strength and power. He maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war, said a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation. Thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps unto me, so that my feet did not slip. Notice, please, down at verse 47. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock. And exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation. It is God that avengeth me, and that bringeth down the people under me, that bringeth me forth from mine enemies. Thou also hast lifted me up on high above them that rose up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and I will sing praises unto thy name. He is the tower of my salvation for his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed unto David, and to his seed forevermore. Verse 1:23. Now these be the last words of David. David the son of Jesse said, the man who was raised up on high and anointed of the Lord, of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me. He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. Notice the closing words of the last chapter, 24. Verse 24, and the king said unto Araunah, Nay, but I will surely buy of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord was entreated for the land, and the plague was stayed from Israel. The Lord will bless to us the reading of his precious word. The life of David is very similar to everyone in the start because it starts with sin. And the Bible teaches clearly that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. There is consequences. You can choose your course, but not the consequences. And so as we start to read the scriptures, we find a man by the name of David, whose name means beloved, and in many ways he's a type of Christ, but the human side came forth. For the man who was born in sin and shapen in iniquity, we find that the sin came forth. But the interesting part, he was called the sweet psalmist of Israel. And before death, he was restored to God. And there is an example for all to follow. I preached with a man one day and was startled when he got up and said, I am very close to the Lord tonight because I fell. And everyone looked for a moment. And then he began to explain and tell of God's mercy and God's grace. That's exactly what happened to David. The man whose life started out in sin, just as yours and just as mine, he turned to the Savior, who said, Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. And then it wasn't too long, and we find that the sweet psalmist of Israel got his eye off of the Lord and onto a woman and fell into sin. The Bible says, Mine eye affecteth my heart, and some feel they can watch the old TV all in the day with their programs and then still go on for the Lord. But remember, what you put in the computer is going to come out. And the day will come you will regret. And so many times people think that the preaching is hard when I've heard them over and over tell them, be careful what goes into the mind. Remember when it came to the book of Romans chapter 12? Verses 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God wants your body. God wants your mind. He wants us to present it to himself. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, today. It's then we can sing, Take the world, but give me Jesus. All its joys are but a name, but his love abideth ever through eternal years the same. And the life that began with sin, at last it came forth a saved man. But it wasn't too long until shame came in. And it happens in many a life, and the greatest thing the devil can do is quiet you for life. And that's not God's purpose. Even discipline in Corinthians, every purpose of it is for restoration. And David the psalmist said, He restoreth my soul, He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. And when I'm watching someone else or something else, my eye is off of the Lord. Where is your eye tonight? Once more, we go back to that hymn, Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Those who hurt the most are those who knew the Lord, and they are those who got their eye off of Him. I mentioned going to Fort Lauderdale one day, and a man was speaking. And he said that the thing that amazed him was, the speaker said, I don't feel as close to the Lord tonight as once I did. And wisely someone said to him, Which one of you moved away? And you know it's true. Draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to you. Resist the devil, and he'll flee far from you. And when you make the choice of entertaining the evil thoughts, it's not long until that which starts in the head goes out into the feet, into the heart, and then we find sin. David realized that, and therefore he was going to get a focus on the person of Christ, and even on the cross, and sitting down, they watched him there. And there were many things could have occupied the mind, but they had their eye on the Lord himself. When David got his eye off of the Lord, here he is on the top of this building, walking on the roof. He looks down and washing, unclothed, is a woman. And the lust, the eye, at last caught his heart, and he sent for and committed immorality. As you read this, you find that God spoke to David, and it was very solemn. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, God said a little more than David wanted to hear. He didn't go forth and just say, "You've committed adultery." He came up and he said, "You have despised my commandment." Do you know you and I have the Word of God, the Ten Commandments, if you will, for a moment. And God gives you that as a pattern of His holiness. And while you and I can never keep that, it's the highest aim that God desires, and He wants you to keep your eye on Him, not the commandments. But David was told, because you despised, because you abhorred, because you didn't appreciate my commandment, the sword's going to come into your house. He went farther, and he said, you not only despised my commandment, you despise me. Remember how you and I, when we trusted Christ, we accepted Him as Lord and Savior? Well, when He walks and talks with you, remember Matthew 11, 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And a yoke. I remember going to Cuba and I watched those big oxen as one of the oxen would be there on the other side of that yoke, that big wooden bar. It was empty. And they were waiting for another to take its place. And that's exactly what the picture is there of you and of me. The Lord is waiting. He's got the yoke. And He's asked, will you walk with me? Will you walk with me? And it's going to be alone many times. But it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Just imagine to hear from the lips of the Savior who said, it is finished for you. To hear from His own lips, well done, thou good and faithful servant. What happened in David's life? We think for a moment, started with sin, then at last, shame. And when the shame came, then came the sorrow. You know, true repentance brings shame. And when you see someone that is proud, that has gotten their eye off of the Lord, it's a pretty good indication they haven't been restored to the Lord as yet. One of the saddest things is to see someone restored to God's people without being restored to the Lord. It's like a bad apple in a bushel. It isn't long until it spreads, and we find that it hurts others. And I've seen it happen. The gray hair gives you the responsibility and the privilege of having seen much in life, and then being able to tell others. And it's just like Peter speaks in his writing when he said, if you do these things, you won't fall. And it's almost like he's saying, as I did. Remember, Peter got his eye off of the Lord. And what happened? He started to sink. What happens when you get your eye off of the Lord? You'll start to sink. But there's one thing sure. That almighty arm will go around. And immediately, the Lord took him. Immediately, the Lord saved him. It was only at the request of Peter, Lord, save me. Have you ever cried? Do you realize the danger of walking so narrowly on thin ice, perhaps? About to go down, and yet there's time, there's room right now to draw near to God. And if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. After speaking similarly at another place one day, a young girl met me at the door. She says, I want to thank you. I was the one that was about to slip. She was going out to do something she had never tried before. And she said, the Word of God has prevented me, and I want to thank you. And it can be in your life. It can be in mine. And God wants us to draw near. He wants us not to continue in sin, not to be in shame, but to come out from the sorrow and there to sing the song. How did he sing? You and I think of David, and the first thing I think of is this robust young man, and he takes those 5 smooth stones, and he lets one fly, and he kills the giant. A beautiful picture. Where did he ever learn to used the sling like that, that he could shoot it across and catch that man directly in the head. It had to be in the quiet hours. Where are you going to learn the Word of God? It just doesn't happen all of a sudden when you get that person knock at the door. I'm a witness for Jehovah. I want to speak to you. Then all of a sudden you don't know what to say. You haven't been practicing. And God wants us back. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. There's many a cult. It was a sad thing in Russia. The first trip, when they told us we were the first Americans to go into some of those ports, all of a sudden, the cults came. And they were in there just as freely as we were. And they were denying that which we had. 5,000 people were there from one of the denominations that doesn't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And now we get out. What are we going to do? Rightly dividing the word of truth. It's the only answer. You don't stand up and fisty cuff them. That's not God's way. It's the word of God. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And if we're going to walk in darkness, it's going to have to be knowing the word of God. Study. Meditate. David now has fallen into sin, and he writes a psalm. He was away from the Lord, it appears, for about a year. He covered his sin. And whosoever covereth his sin shall not prosper. And David was a sad person. He knew the fellowship with God. He enjoyed the fellowship with God, the communion. Now all of a sudden, it's broken. His tears day and night. He lamented. He was sorry. He repented. He was ashamed of that which he did. God said, "You despised me." Did you ever hurt someone you really loved? It may be a parent. I can recall some things, and oh, if I could only take them back. But I can't. Words that come out are like arrows, and you can never retract them. The person that defies their parents and speaks back. I remember hearing Dad one day. I don't know why, but Mother was asking some question about what he did in his younger days. He said, "Well, I remember one day I was invited to a home of a young woman. When I got to the home, it was for dinner, and this girl sassed her parents something awful." He said, "I never went back." Why? You don't want that type of person. If you're a Christian, you want an example. That's what David was at the end of his life. But now he writes that Psalm 51. Do you know the interesting thing? 2 Samuel 22 and Psalm 18 are almost exactly the same. A long psalm and a long portion of Scripture. Do you know the difference? It starts out and he says, "The Lord is my strength and my rock." You see, he realized he didn't have any strength of his own anymore. "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. When I am weak, then am I strong, because I depend on him and not my own strength. Be strong and of a good courage, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." God wants us to ever be strong. But as David writes that psalm, he realizes something. I can't be used of God right now. There's sin between me and my Lord. I may have a loved one that I want to see saved. But there's something between me and my God. That cloud has come between. The smile of his face is gone. And I feel the heartache and the pang. As the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. And then David comes forth and he confesses. And he said, "Have mercy upon me, O God." And he wasn't pointing to the other people, as oft times we do. He said, "Have mercy upon me, O God." Well, we've mentioned over and over the mercy of God is above the heavens. It can't be measured. It's measureless. And it's eternal. And the first time you find mercy in the entire Word of God is way back in Genesis 19. And in the same verse, it speaks of the grace of God. And when you've got the grace of God and the mercy of God, you have no problem at all. Unmeasured, infinite, eternal, and it's yours and it's mine. And there it comes forth from a man by the name of Lot. And he says, Lord, you saved my life. And he thanked God for his grace and for his mercy. The first time grace comes in the Word of God, there was wickedness, violence, and corruption. Where was the violence? Cain slew Abel. That's violence. It was in the world. Now it's great violence, great wickedness. It's expanded in wickedness. Look at the Sodomites back in the 19th chapter. You know what God says about Sodomites? Homosexuals, queers, faggots, whatever the world wants to call them. And you're not supposed to mention it. But by God's grace, if it's in the book, it's got to come out. God speaks of them as an abomination, as wicked. Do you know what abomination is? It's used in a word with an offering that's given to God and the meat becomes 3 days older, and it stinks. And that's exactly the word God says about homosexuality. It stinks. It couldn't be more plain. And then people go out today and peer pressure and someone comes back. I remember when we lived in Las Vegas. A wealthy family right across the way, the parents owned the big automobile agency. And I can remember our back window was open and he used to give big money to these young girls to come and spend the first night with him. And many of them took it. And we've seen them at the house. And this girl right under our window was almost weeping. Oh, I wish I hadn't done that. I wish I hadn't sinned. And she was crying. It was too late. She had fallen. She had lost her innocency. Now it was killing the poor soul. It only takes a moment of distraction to get your eye from the Lord. Just as David fell, that girl fell, many a person has fallen. What did David say? Lord, I can't smile anymore. I've hurt you and I've broken your commandment. Then he said, Lord, there's three things I need. I want to get back. I want the joy of your salvation. I want to be able to teach others also, but I can't because sin is between you and sin is between me. And he goes on and he explains in that 51st Psalm exactly how to get back to the Lord. The last one was restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. But before that, Lord, create a clean heart in me. My heart's been corrupt, defiled. And the heart is really the person. Then he went a little farther and he speaks and he said, create in me a right spirit. Isn't it wonderful when we sin how we start to judge ourselves by others instead of the Word of God? David, at first, had his eye off of the Lord. Now he wants to get back. How does he do so? He said, Lord, I want to be clean. Purge me, wash me, cleanse me. Whatever it takes, I want to get back. And God took him back. It's like that hymn, I wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. And if you want happiness, you want to confess and forsake. And the man who hasn't been there has missed something great in life. And God allowed David to once say, he restoreth my soul. Remember the soul, a mind to think, a will to do, emotions to feel. It comes up every time. But that's the entire being a man. That's why when it came to Psalm 103, he said, bless the Lord, O my soul. Bow down before him. Adore on your knees the Son of God. David said that because he found repentance and he found reception. And the Lord speaks and he says, come. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And David, who started in a life of sin, who got his eye off of the Lord, came down to shame. Now he's coming forth and he's confessed it all. And he winds up and he's going to sing. And that's where God wants you and he wants me. Who were the first people to sing? Back in Exodus. Israel. Why did they sing? They were redeemed by blood. Are you? Do you sing? Do you rejoice? Redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. And the first people in chapter 15 after chapter 12, they were redeemed by precious blood, their hearts bubbling over, and they're singing, they're rejoicing, and it's all because of the blood of the Lamb. Oh, the night God saved me, I'll never forget it. I was singing. I was happy. I sang day after day. God wants you and he wants me to get back to the joy of God's salvation. Today I can make a joyful noise. Then I could sing, but it's the Lord knows. And he wants the very best that we have anyhow. And the man that sings, what did he say? I counted 9 times over. Remember, he said, have mercy upon me, O God. He didn't say, my God. Then he came to this 2 Samuel chapter 22, and he said, oh, my rock. You see, the Israelites, if you have ever looked at the land, you look on the hills, and it seems like every 2 feet is a rock. You wonder where they could find the green pastures. That's why it speaks of it. It's miraculous. And when the enemy came in on Israel, the Israelites got and they took the rocks and they started to line them up. And then they built them up top. And the first thing you know, they had a fortress, a rock. And when the enemy came with their fiery darts, they got right inside. And the rock took all of their fiery darts. And that's what happens to the people of God. David said, now when the enemy comes, God is my rock. It was personal. He's my fortress. And the fortress comes with a high tower. And the high tower looks out and he sees the enemies all over there just watching and waiting to defeat. But they can't because God was his fortress. God was his high tower. And he looked after him. And God will not only save, but he'll keep. And he'll satisfy. Sometimes the enemy comes in. David says, he delivered me from all my enemies and from Saul. 7 times Saul tried to kill him. Do you know where he got the information? A gossiper. Went and told Saul, David's here. David did this. David. And each time, Saul goes and tries to kill him. Don't feed the enemy. Tell it not in Gath. Publish it not in the streets of Ashkelon. Hold it back. You can save the life or the character. Not the character, the testimony. You can't hurt the person's character, for that's their true self. But you can sure put shame and dishonor on the Lord's name by gossip. And he wants us to be oh so careful. I remember again, God was his fortress and his strength. God saved my father, and he was young and he was in business for himself back in suburban Philadelphia. And he had belonged to a number of organizations. And he started to read the Bible. And he realized that some of the things that he belonged to weren't exactly biblical. Had nothing to do with God. So he prayed about it. And then he wrote a letter. And he told these people, I'm resigning. Because of my spiritual convictions, I won't be back. And I'm handing in my letter, and I won't be with you anymore. Well, a man came in and he said, Xander, do you realize the amount of people in this neighborhood that belong to this organization and what it's going to do for you if you do carry out what you said? He said, well, I prayed about it. I feel that God wants me to do it. I have no choice. He said, well, you're going to be sorry because I'm going to make an announcement tonight at the meeting, and we're going to boycott you, and we're going to put you out of business. Dad went home with a heavy heart. Just as the store is closing, though, he looked up the street and he saw a crowd of people gathered. He didn't think too much about it, and he went home, and he came back later, and he said, what happened up the street? And the man that had come in was a painter, and he had fallen from a high building, and he was dead, and he never made the report. And Dad never lost his business. God was his high tower. God was his strength. God was his shield. And that's the way God works. Under no circumstances will I ever leave thee nor forsake thee. And David's singing all these things. David's happy. He's redeemed by blood. And then he goes forth and he says, do you know what the Lord will do? He'll take you right through the troop. That's an army in the margin. You come to an army, your foe. And watch what happens. You look at them and you think, look at the strength of those people. But you forget we have an almighty God. A God who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And then he went farther. And he said, you know what he did? He helped me and I leaped over a wall. What's that do when you come to a wall? If I'm going to get out of this building and I walk right here, what happens to me? I look around and I'm frustrated. I don't know what to do. I'm puzzled. And what happened? God said he would take them over the wall. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God will take you through your foe. God will take you through your frustration. And finally, he winds up and he speaks once more and he said, and God will remove every fear. Now David fell. He was fearful of falling again. And then what did the Lord do? He says, the Lord kept my feet from falling. And the Lord exalted me, set me up on high. And I have no fear now because my eyes are off of man, women, and they're on the Lord. Where are your eyes tonight? That's what God asks me. And I simply pass on the searching that he's given me today several hours over his word. Then he still goes on. And as he finishes, he said, the Lord lives. You see, the sin bearer is now the burden bearer, and he lives, and he calls you to himself. And he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think. And if it's a foe or frustration or fear, God can handle it. In Las Vegas, we moved out there to have meetings and see souls saved, and God really blessed. I took a 28-foot trailer behind the car, went in and parked it in the trailer park, and it's Mormon country. About a week in there, and the man came who said, Xander, I want your trailer off my park right away. I said, is there anything that I can do to comply with your rules, or I just want you out of here? I thought that's strange. So about 3 days later, he said to me, you misunderstood me. Get your trailer off my park. Mother and Dad and I were in there, and we packed up and we moved, and it was a beautiful new trailer behind a Buick LeSabre. Beautiful. Pulled into one right on the strip. Good place to witness for the Lord. And I pulled in, and
I said, can I bring my trailer in here? Yes, sir, he said. You can park it right out here. It's beautiful. I went inside. And he says, what's your name? I said, Xander. He says, you're not coming in here. I said, what's the matter? He says, you're not bringing that trailer here. So I left, and Mother and Dad and I went to the next park and pulled it in. And can I stay here? Yes, he said, you sure can. Beautiful rig. Pulled it in and went in to sign up. What's your name, Xander? You're not coming in here. The whole area of the trailer park's Mormons. Mormons were getting saved, and we were on their blacklist. And I don't know if you know what that means. They have exactly what Rome has, Jesuits. And they'll put you to death for disobeying what they have. They had a plaque on the road up in Utah where they murdered, I think it's 13 Baptists who were out there as missionaries. And they had a plaque up boasting of it because they weren't putting their poison out and ruining the Mormonism, which is contrary to the Word of God. But the interesting thing is my brother's office with the AEC was right next door to the FBI. He went in one day and he said to the man, I wonder if you can help me. He said, every place my brother goes with that trailer, they put him out. What's wrong? A couple of days they came back and said, we found out what's wrong. The Mormons want your brother out of town. You know, God brings victory out of what looks like defeat. We moved away. The towns are 60 miles apart. We got up into the next town, parked the trailer, had meetings, and two Mormons got saved immediately. You see, the devil gets defeated every time. Do you know how David finished up? When he climaxed the whole story and he said, the Lord lives. And then he came in and he built an altar to the Lord. And he offered burnt offerings, which was precious blood. And he paid a price for the place where he was. And he said, I don't want to give anything to God that doesn't cost me something. I want to pay the full price. And he paid the money. And God's name was exalted. And that's where he leaves you and leaves me. Can you exalt the name of Christ tonight? They gathered to his name there. David honored the Lord. And David was singing as the song ends. Shall we pray? Our Father, we oftentimes sing, I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me. Help us to turn our eyes upon Jesus from all upon this world that we may see him who loved us unto death, even the death of the cross. We thank you for the privilege of gathering tonight. Some of our loved ones are sorrowing. We commit them to thee. Pour in the balm of Gilead. Grant they may know thy presence. Some are laid aside and ill at this time. Thou art the great physician. We commit them to thee. Now, Lord, grant that we may hear thy voice tonight as we praise thee for the past and trust thee for the bright future. In that worthy and precious name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.